Welcome to Ask the Water Polo Goalie Podcast. I'm your host, Glenn Bush. I was a goalie all through my playing career, and now I coach him at UCSD for the men's team. And this podcast is me answering your questions, the most common questions I've received over the years from players and other coaches, and just sometimes the topics I want to cover. Today's episode is a question from a listener. If you have a question, you can send to me through email, or you can leave me an audio message if you're brave enough and you want to have everyone hear your voice, because I will play it on the show. Both my email and the link to leave an audio message are in the show description. So this question comes from Susan. Hi, Glenn. I'm loving your podcast. I love some help and advice on how to be more vocal and directive of teammates as a goalie. Other than counting down the clock and asking teammates to press or help defend, I'm often not sure what else to say. Perhaps you could direct me to any online examples. Thanks, Susan. Thank you, Susan, for the question, and really thank you for the compliment. This is a big topic. I'll probably take multiple episodes, and it's a topic I've been meaning to talk about, so this is great timing for your question, Susan. And I'm going to break this down into two sections. The first section is just about how to get started with talking to your team and being comfortable talking and inserting yourself into the team defense. Because trust me, your teammates want to hear you. They know you can see everything going on versus the limited view that they have. They want your help, and you want to help yourself with effective communication. Now, it sounds like Susan has no problem talking to her teammates and is looking for the next level up. So I hope I can help here, because when I'm trying to niche down specific things, we really need to be going through a game situation, either through video or with something that just happened in a game or in a practice. And this will always be the limitation of this podcast. Without a specific situation right in front of us, I'm going to have to default to more generic topics and generic things. Communicating with your team is a big requirement of your position as a goalie. If you don't want to talk, or you're afraid to talk, then you might want to rethink your position. And I've seen a lot of talented goalies over the years. They have the physical aspect, but they don't communicate. And so they flounder as they try to move up to the higher levels of play. And you can take the vice versa. I've seen those that maybe are shorter or maybe don't have all the traditional physical aspects you want of a top level goalie, but they're effective communicators. They anticipate the game. They kind of mold the game to what they want, and they're very effective goalies. So if you're serious about your position, if you're serious about being a game changer, then you need to work on your communication skills just like you would your legs. Effective communicators are a huge defensive strength, but that first step is to just start talking. The easiest thing to do is to count the shot clock down for your team when they're on offense. The standard is when you get close to 11 to 12 seconds left, you'll start saying things like, "You're going yellow, you're going yellow, you're yellow." And then by the time you say that, you're going to be at about 10 seconds, and then you would count down, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. And when you get to six, you'll start yelling like, "You're red, you're red." And then you count down from 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And at around 3 seconds, you would start telling them to dump the ball or take a shot if they have a chance to score or to take a possession shot. But you're just starting out. You're just getting used to talking, so don't worry about all that. But once you are comfortable with that, then you can add the dump it or shoot it part to your countdown. And for those that maybe don't use my terminology, dumping the ball is just kind of putting it to the corner or the sideline to make your opponent pull a field player out of their counterattack to allow you to set up on defense easier. You know, you're just conceding the offensive possession. The next move in talking is just narrate everything that is happening in front of you. Follow the ball in transition and tell your team what is happening. Goalie ball. Ball at 4. Ball at point. Now, ball's now at 2. Entry, entry. And on a defensive counterattack, you know, say you're wearing white caps, "Hey, blue ball, blue ball. Defense, defense, get back, back." You're going to narrate, you know, as it's coming at you. "Ball's on the left, ball's on the left, ball's coming up left. No, she's live. Hey, we're down middle. We're down right side." If you're on an offensive counterattack, and again, we'll be wearing white caps. White ball, go, go, go." And then, you know, depending on where I put the ball, you know, if we're open on the weak side, it's like, "Hey, we're open weak, you're open weak." Or if it's got to be the person with the ball, it's like, you, "Your shot." When you're narrating, you're not really saying anything of real substance, but letting your teammates know where the ball is helps them get into their defensive positions and helps them out. Letting them know where they are down on the counterattack, and if the person is live with the ball, helps them make decisions about who to go to and what to do in that situation. Telling them what you see during an offensive counterattack helps them make a more confident decision about making a pass, or keeping the ball themselves to go score. The whole objective is to get comfortable with talking. And so you just narrate that. Keep everything short and sweet, and don't be afraid to say anything. Don't be afraid that you'll look or sound foolish. It's gonna happen, but you can't get better if you don't try. I only learned to say the right things because I said the wrong things a bunch of times. And for coaches, you have to encourage young goalies to start talking. It's really hard because you have the experience and you know what you want done and how to effectively say it, so you end up talking the entire game and taking over the role of the goalie. But that short-term effectiveness will hurt you and the team and the player's development in the long run. When I coached high school, I would choose specific games to sit down and just shut up, and I would tell my team, you need to handle all the communication. I treated it like a drill. It was a communication drill with real-world consequences. Now, we all know that we're not going to make it the whole game as a coach sitting down. But that early commitment does force you to give the players more control over the communication, and they can really handle it early on. And obviously, I chose games where we were the favorite. And if they did a good job with this weaker opponent, I would then try it against a little bit tougher opponent, and so on and so forth. The big objective here is that once you've built up their ability to talk and you trust them, then you can let the goalie handle everything in front of them and you can help out with their blind spots. If we're in a 4-5 or 3-4 zone and I'm on the bench, I'll step in and talk to defenders at X1 and X2 so that the goalie can handle the 2 meters and the zone drops and the shooters. I'm going to take a quick break for the sponsor of this episode, and then I'm going to move on to the next level of communication. So from Susan's questions, it really sounds like she's past that real basic level. So we need to get into specifics, which again is tough without specific game situations happening right in front of us. But just to address some points brought up in her question, and these are kind of questions towards Susan and for you out there, when telling teammates to press, do you want them to foul or do you not want them to foul? If you don't want them to foul, then make sure you're saying press no foul, press no foul. But if you want them to press the foul and then drop on 2 meters, then you got to say foul and drop, foul and drop. And when you're in that zone defense and you have that help, you should have a line in the sand or line in the water that when the offensive player gets to that line, your zone defender puts them down. A big issue when field players get into a zone is that they think they have to stay dropped off the shooter the entire time. So as a shooter walks in, they keep backing up. And I've seen field players walk into what is essentially a penalty shot because the defender just kept backing up and now they're not even really helping on 2 meters. So you need to know that line and your teammates need to know that line that you have set. And so you need to tell them to knock the ball down when it gets close to that line. And your other zone defender should be in a position to help on any entry pass when you say knock them down. And you yourself need to be ready to steal the entry pass. So by communicating effectively and telling your teammates and your defenders what you want, you can anticipate what the offensive player will do. And when you tell a defender to knock down a shooter, you don't want them to drop their shot block and swim out the shooter. They need to be on their legs, and they still need to be on their shot block and aggressively walking to the shooter, and then when they reach them, to lunge with their lead hand while they leave up their shot blocking hand, and then they can wrap up the shooter with their shot blocking arm once the shooter is off balance. If they swim at the shooter, that ball is just going to go right over their head. You know, the shot block's gone. Another issue with zone defenders is off-ball defenders dropping when they're not supposed to. I always go back to the 4-5 zone example because this just happens a lot, is X1 and X2 should not be dropping and opening up cross-passing lanes. You usually have your best right-handed shooter at X2 or maybe even X1 at that moment. You don't want to be able to catch and shoot from a strong pass, from a strong cross-pass. But X1 and X2, especially X2, they do this a lot. They'll drop off when they're not supposed to. So when you get a second, you can remind off-ball defenders to stay pressed. No drop, no cross passes. Another term I use in zone defense and helping defense is knife over. I have no idea where I got this, but essentially it's side pressure from the perimeter. So if a guy at the four spot is walking in as a shooter, usually I'm going to want this guy to shoot if they're right-handed, but I also want to make it harder on them. So I'll tell X3 to knife over, to put side pressure and put back pressure on the shooter if the offensive player at point is just kind of way up high, just sitting there, not really moving into the vacated water or involving themselves into the offense. And I'll be definitely yelling for side pressure if that offensive player at the point is kind of backing up and just kind of covering up for the guy with the ball. The beauty of knifing over to X4 from X3 is that, especially if it's a righty, this is a blind spot attack too. They can't see the guy coming from behind them. And you can do the same. You can do a knife over and side pressure if the ball's at the two spot. So even though this is not a blindside attack, you know, the point player or the four spot, if they receive the pass from the two spot, they're going to receive that ball cross face. So it gives you a little time to slide over. And more times than not, the field player mishandles the cross face pass. So they'll have to fake it to regain control of it, or they'll put it in the water to recover it. So that gives you more time to move over and square up on the ball again. Susan, from your question, you say you tell your teammates to put their hands up. Do they put the correct hand up for your blocking scheme? Usually you have shot blockers match hands to the shooters. If the shooter is right-handed, then your defender has their left hand up. Now, something to be aware of when they're matching hands is if your defender is completely square with the shooter, essentially a mirror image, then there's a shooting lane over their head and right over their off shoulder. So when telling them to get their hands up, you're going to need to tell your teammates to slide left or slide right to get the shoulder of their arm, their shot blocking arm, kind of lined up with the offensive player's head. And it's not going to be exact, but kind of more or less, it's kind of an offset. So now the shooting lane over their head is gone, and the lane over their shoulder has now been pushed way wide, and your defender can still get a hand on this, or if they do force that shot over that shoulder, it's probably going to go wide of the cage. Now, what about a wraparound shot against the shot blocking arm now that you've offset yourself? It's going to happen, but the defender should still be in a good position to drop their arm and drop their hand to meet the shot, or at least force the shooter to release that ball and keep it to the near side instead of allowing them to kind of wrap all the way around the shot block and take that shot cross cage. And a good wraparound shot is a tough shot to master. So at the lower levels, you're not going to see it as often. All right, some more questions for Susan and for everyone out there to kind of get you thinking about how to communicate more. Have you scouted your opponent? Do you know who their weaker shooters are? This is where you can call out my all-time favorite defense, an LTD defense. And LTD stands for Leave the Dork. I love this defense in high school. You're not going to see it a whole lot at the higher levels because there's just not that many weak players. But in high school, sometimes there's players on this team that you can let them walk into about 5 meters and with no defender, and they still might only score 30% of the time. Now I'm going to kind of walk through a defensive possession to help spur more ideas for communication and just kind of walk through what I just said earlier. A warning, I'm doing this in my head, so I'm going to miss something, and something I probably would normally say or any goalie would say. So if you catch anything out there that I miss, you know, shoot me an email or you can shoot me that audio message. So we're going to start on offense. There's about 12 seconds left on the shot clock. You're going yellow. You're yellow. So now we're at 10 seconds and I start counting it down, you know, 10, 9, 8. I get to 6 seconds and then, you know, you're red. You're red. So it's 5, 4, 3. Now I'm telling them to take a shot, take a possession shot, or to dump the ball. If I want someone to take a shot or a possession shot, I'm also yelling, you know, their name and you. So it's, you know, Johnny, your shot. And after they've already committed to it, I'm yelling cover, you know, Billy, cover. What cover does is this brings a teammate away from the play back into a defensive counter position, kind of like center field, before that ball is shot. Because your shooter is going to get burned and you need someone out in front to pick up any potential breakaway. And yelling cover is just another way to tell whoever has the ball that they need to shoot it. And then you can also, you're bringing that person back to defense. So it's kind of a two birds with one stone communication tool. And I find myself yelling cover more than shoot it because the field player knows the clock, hopefully, and that it's going to be them to take the shot or that's them to dump it if they don't think they have the shot. So the shot happened. It's a change of possession and we're wearing white caps. So I'm yelling blue ball, you know, defense. And that's to let everyone know that we've changed possession and it's time to get their butts back here. Now in transition, I have to assess if we're going to be down anywhere. And usually at the college level, it's unlikely that a breakaway is going to happen on that front line. It happens, but you know, not that often. So I need to see in our transition if we're down the backcourt because our center forward just got blasted off of, or if we're even. If we're even, I'm following the, you know, that 10, 10, and 10 framework that I talked about in the previous episode. So in the first 10 seconds, I'm yelling, you know, goalie ball. Hey, we're even. Hey, press and release. And then I'm calling out specific names of teammates where I want them to go or where I want them to press to prevent that outlet. Again, it's all short, sweet, name, direction, cap number you want them to pick up, where they got to go. Don't make these long sentences. If we're down the backcourt, which is going to happen a lot. You know, center fours, they expend a ton of energy on offense. So when we're going back to defense, we want to let them recharge and we want to pick up for them in that transition. One way to do that is to counter back into a five-man shell. Essentially, you're playing man down defense until your center forward can get back on defense and pick someone up. So I'm yelling things like, hey, we're down the backcourt, we're down. Five-man counter. And then calling people by name back into the shell where I want them and telling, you know, by name in where in the five-man they need to pick people up. Because some guys are going to want to press releases because they think they might be even. You got to bring them back into that shell. And you'll play five-man until your center forward is back and they can pick up a perimeter player. And then hopefully we can press out from there and complete the second 10 seconds of the 10, 10, and 10 framework. And if we are even and we can press, I'm yelling, hey, press, press, we're even. You know, you're trying to get everyone out of the five-man shell and into the press. So it's like telling people at X1, X6, X4, and X5 in the five-man shell where they need to press out on the perimeter. Now, if we got to that press, I'm on the lookout for our breakdown at 2 meters. It could have happened coming out of the five-man shell, so we might have gone right into the zone. But if we got to press again, I'm going to look for the breakdown at the front at 2 meters, and then I'm getting ready to switch to our zone defense, and I'm looking where that breakdown is going to happen, and that's going to key me off what zone defense I'm going to run. While we're still in that press, I keep reminding my teammates, press no foul, get up in their lanes, no cross passes. And then we lose it, and I'm going to read that center forward, and I'm going to adjust my zone accordingly. It could be a 4-5 side kind of rocking zone. It could be a 3-4 up top zone. If they're set to the 1-2 side, it might be a basic 2-3 zone. Or if my opponent doesn't have a lefty, I'll try to run a trap defense. And a trap defense is essentially a 2-drop, and then a sequential knife over and side pressure from X3 to the 2 spot, and then from X4 up to the 3 spot when the ball moves to the point, and then maybe possibly up from X5 to the 4 spot, or the original X2 drop has now kind of slid over with the ball, and they can go out and pick up the 4 spot. And now the ball's on that 4-5 side, and if your center forward was in kind of that position, in a bad position to the 1-2 side, they should be now in a front position on the 4-5 side. But in any zone, I'm lining up my shot blockers to take away their part of the cage. I'm telling which arm I want up, and I'm trying to tell them where to slide left or right to get them set up to funnel the ball to where I want it, depending on which zone we're running. And your zone defenses should have kind of your priority shot blocking lanes of where that ball should be going. If an entry pass occurs in a press or in the zone, I'm yelling crash. Sometimes you don't have enough time to do that. Things are just moving so fast, so you have to react to the shot coming at you from the center forward. And if your teammates are zoned up, you know, they should know that they need to crash on any entry pass, not just sit there and watch what happens. They need to get the ball out of the center's hands as fast as possible. The more time you give centers isolation, you know, against the center defender, the more likely they will score or they're going to draw that exclusion. You also have to realize as a goalie that the center defender, they know if they can tie up the center forward or not. If they know that they can't tie him up in a bad position, they're going to take that quick ejection. And so you're going to need to start communicating your man down defense. Now, I won't get into the five man down defense in this episode. It's already kind of running a little long. We'll try and attack that another time. And again, I've been outlining this episode over several days, so it might not feel like the most kind of congruent and consistent episode. What I hope I did was get you primed to start talking if you don't talk. And if you're like Susan, to maybe think about the other things you need to say that maybe you aren't saying right now. And to maybe spur more questions about how to communicate more effectively with your teammates. My suggestion, for anybody out there, if you're close to, you know, college games, if you can go watch it and your goalie, yeah, go watch those games and get as close to the goal line as possible and listen to what those goalies at the college level are saying. It's going to help you learn. And like I said earlier, I probably forgot a few things. So if you think I did forget something or you have a question about what I said, then drop me a line. Again, more advanced communication skills come from breaking down specific game situations and what you want to do in each one of those. And so maybe I'll come up with a way to do that. Maybe I can find a YouTube clip or a game situation to talk about, and I can give you the timestamps and the visual cues so that you can go along with it and check out what I'm saying. But for now, thank you for listening, and I'll catch you next time.